Welcome back. You're watching Traders Corner, and joining me as always is Garth McKenzie, founder and editor of Traders Corner. Garth, welcome.
Hi, Julieta.
Garth, tonight's show is all about how to make a quick buck. Mm. But before we get to that, I know that you want to start off with the S&P 500 and the top 40 index on the JSE, which we looked at last week. The S&P specifically in the context of a potential break to the upside, which appears to have happened.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm just going to quickly show this because we did look at it last week, and I figure it's important to review it for this week. There's a big triangular pattern that's evident on the S&P 500 here, and everywhere you look on Twitter and any technical analyst that monitors these sort of things has identified this big triangular pattern that's formed over the last 4 or 5 months, and now it's looking as if it's actually broken to the upside. The move above 2700 on the S&P 500 is significant, and that marks a breakout through that downward trend that you can see over there on the chart, and that marks a break to the upper end of that triangular pattern. And then, of course, at the bottom end, you can see where those arrows are. That's where the 200-day moving average has held consistently time after time over the last couple of months. So in strict technical terms, this is bullish. It should point to further upside. There is a part of me that wants to be a little bit skeptical about it. I think just because of the time of the year that we're entering into, it's typically choppy and bumpy. And I just don't know that we can necessarily look at this breakout and say, oh, it's now all bullish and we're suddenly going to go all the way back to the highs. Well, maybe it will, but I am a little bit of a skeptic. There's a small gap in the chart at 2700 where it actually made a sharp move to the upside on the open a couple of days ago, last week sometime. And what you could find is that any pullback towards that 2700 area, that might actually target that little gap, and that would also serve to be a retest of this downward trend. So if you got a pullback to 2700 and it held and it reversed up off there, then maybe it could signal the start of another move to the upside. So I think just keep that in mind. But for now, it's fair to say that this break has happened. We have to respect it. We can't deny the fact that it has happened, albeit that I'm a little bit wary just to get all suddenly very bullish about this. But nevertheless, that technical breakout on the S&P 500 has now happened.
Yeah, and our own markets, which is a lot more sluggish, it seemed, in comparison to the U.S. markets, but we actually have moved up over the last 7 trading days.
Yeah, we have. We've gradually been grinding our way higher. It's been a pretty lethargic month over the last, if you take the last, say, 3 to 4 weeks, it's been rather lethargic. And here it is at the moment. This is the top 40 spot index now. So it's not the futures, it's the spot index itself. What I pointed out last week was that there was this sort of slightly messy ascending triangle pattern that was forming, and that was also looking as if it was trying to make an attempt to break out of that larger channel that you can see illustrated on the chart there. The level was 51,500. Now, it has broken up through that area. So in strict technical terms, that should now see us moving on to the next area of resistance, which comes in at around about 53,000. And you can see that highlighted on the chart there. That level represents the highs from February and March. So that's where we would look to go next, provided the market can remain somewhat elevated at the current levels.
But as you can see, and I think that's, is that a volume indicator on the bottom of the chart?
Yeah.
Volumes aren't great.
No, they're not.
They're not particularly inspiring, actually.
Absolutely. No, you're right. I mean, look at that. Throughout the latter part of April and into May, the volumes, the daily traded volume on our market really has been very, very thin and very lethargic. April, you can kind of understand because there were a lot of public holidays all strung in strange ways that you could create a lot of
leave
for yourself with taking relatively limited time off. So that makes sense from April. May, though, has, you know, we've resumed normal work weeks now, and the volumes are still very, very low. I mean, I think yesterday was 40% below the average daily traded volume for the year to date. So it still remains a very lethargic market. There's not an awful lot of commitment going into this at the moment.
Yeah, and especially if you consider what was happening in December. I mean, that was really, I suppose, understandably, but huge climb down.
Yeah.
Okay, Garth, so leading us into the trade that you did, and it was a real sort of quick in and out kind of trade, and it's based on the reweightings or the revisions to the MSCI South Africa index.
That's right. Yeah. So let's quickly talk about this. I mean, first of all, what is the MSCI South Africa index? The MSCI stands for Morgan Stanley Capital Index, and they have all these different indices of different jurisdictions, geographies, etc. So that we're talking specifically about the South Africa index here. And this is an index that Morgan Stanley collates and manages. And what you find is that there are large global tracker funds that tend to track this thing. If you're a global investor and you want to track the South African market, you know, you would tend to want to track the MSCI South Africa Index. That's a fairly common thing. And as a result, you find that there's quite a lot of global positioning related to how the constituents of this index are positioned. So every, the semi-annually, so what's that, twice a year, they do a revision of this index. They'll look at stocks that come into the index and stocks that come out of the index, and then they will also rebalance the stocks in the index. Mm. You'll find that certain ones might have their market capitalizations have grown and others might have shrunk. So in the end, they do a rebalance and reset the index every half year. So the significant ones that we are looking at here are illustrated on this table over here. So the additions, what's coming into the MSCI South Africa Index is Clicks and Reinet. Now what these numbers refer to in brackets is it's a calculation of the number of shares that would need to be bought in each stock, in this case because these are additions. Number of shares that would need to be bought by the tracker funds in order for them to get on weight. And then the second number in brackets over there, where I see it like on Clicks, 12 DTC. That means 12 days to cover. 12 days worth of trading volume.
Okay, before the addition becomes fixed.
No. What that means is that's how many shares would need to be effectively bought.
Okay, got you.
Okay. And typically, for Clicks to trade 17 million shares generally takes about 12 days.
Okay.
Right. And Reinet below that, 9.6 million shares is what would need to be bought. That's typically 24 days worth of trade. So what I'm saying is that these are big numbers. And as a consequence, you see big movements in these share prices because of the volume that needs to be traded in order to recalibrate the index here.
Interesting.
On the right-hand side, we've got the deletions. So Brait is coming out. No surprise there, given the drop in that share price. Steinhoff, even less of a surprise there, given that Steinhoff looks like it's on its way to zero at the moment. And then Sibanye, also no surprise. That's also seen its market cap drop dramatically.
Mm.
So what you find today, and we're going to focus specifically on the three that I've highlighted there. We'll look at Clicks and Reinet that have been very strong today on our market, and then Brait, which has been very weak. And the announcement of this came out overnight, and then obviously the market responds immediately this morning, being Tuesday morning. This revision actually only takes effect from the 31st of May, but what you'll find is that the market responds immediately and the adjustments begin to happen immediately in order to try and allow for enough trading days up until the 31st of May for this all to get done in a relatively efficient manner.
So, I mean, is this a bit of a gimme that you don't often get in the stock market where it's a no-brainer? I mean, okay, there's no such thing as a no-brainer trade, but this seems to be pretty close.
It is fairly close because you find that all that happens here is you get big movements in these share prices purely because of the fact that there's a supply and demand mismatch. It's not because there's anything that's happened at the company. So, for example, today, Brait was down 14% at one stage. And let's go and have a look at these.
Sure.
I mean, here's Brait. This is a five-minute chart that we're looking at now. So every candle pattern here represents 5 minutes of trade. So, of course, all of those there on the left are yesterday's trade. And then we opened this morning with a big gap to the downside after these revisions have been announced. And you can see that at one stage this morning, the share was trading down 14%.
Hmm.
All right. It didn't stay there long. It managed to bounce quite quickly. And that was the stock we traded. And we will come back to this just now. But the point is that to answer your question, you know, this is it is where the market, I suppose, bowls you a little bit of a loose ball. And you can smash it a little bit because you know why the share's down. You know that there's no fundamental reason why it's down other than the fact that there's just a bit of an oversupply of stock in the market for the short term, right? And that is likely to correct itself.
I suppose the trick is where it settles, and I guess we'll get to Brait in a little bit.
And that's where there's a little bit of uncertainty that does come into it. So that's Brait, and you can see big selling activity off the bat early this morning, but then that was quite quickly recovered to some extent. And then this is Clicks. So we said that Clicks was coming into the MSCI South Africa Index, and a lot of shares need to be bought in Clicks in order to effect that reweighting. So there you see the big move up, the big gap to the upside in the share price this morning. And at one stage, it was up 5.2% at its peak this morning.
Sure.
And it subsequently come back a little bit. So you would look at this and say, well, there's an overreaction here. you could possibly look to short this if you've got a, if you've got your wits about you and you think that it's going to come back a little bit.
You have to short it right at the peak of that little trade.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, this because remember, this is a five-minute chart, so you're really talking about an extremely short time frame here. But you need to have your wits about you if you are going to trade this type of setup.
And what about Renet?
Renet was also up big time this morning. You can see it was up 5.5% on the open, and it's stayed relatively elevated throughout the day. Remember that Renet has a very close relationship with British American Tobacco. And what you could do here, if you wanted to, is you could look to trade that mismatch, because what's happened now is Renet has suddenly spiked up. Mm-hmm. British American Tobacco didn't go up to the same extent. You'll find that this stock has opened a gap of about 2.5% over British American Tobacco this morning. So if you were quick and you had your wits about you, what you could potentially do here is short the Renet and buy British American Tobacco, looking for the gap between the shares to close and for there to be some sort of a normalization.
Yeah. Okay, but you traded Brait, so just talk us through that in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, so we talked about Brait, and here it is again. So I mentioned to you that it was down 14% at one stage early this morning. I took that as an opportunity to buy some stock, really just looking for a quick rebound. And this was not done with any great level of calculation or anything. You actually have to be very quick, you have to be committed and have your wits about you, because the window of opportunity to trade a setup like this is actually very, very short. You have to have the screen open in front of you and be ready to act.
I mean, that's about, what, half an hour?
Well, exactly. I mean, 1,500 shares we managed to pick up at 33 Rand and 5 cents. So it wasn't at the bottom. The bottom was about 32 Rand this morning. And 20 minutes later, it was trading back at 35 Rand. So it gained, you know, off the bottom to that, it gained 10% in less than half an hour. So if you are quick, and as I say, the window of opportunity to spot these is very, very limited, but there was a nice opportunity to make a bit of money here. So we did that trade, and it made 2,700 Rand for the portfolio, all costs taken into consideration here.
I suppose you don't really need to take us through the mechanics of the trade, because it was it's a knee-jerk trade in a way.
Absolutely. It's a knee-jerk trade. And it wasn't one of these where I sat and I sort of thought, well, where are we going to put a stop loss? Where are we going to, how are we going to calculate the position size? It was just, it was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, just saying, this is ridiculous that this share is down so much. It's not going to stay here for long. It will recover. Quickly buy a couple and then sell them out a little while later.
I suppose maybe just the last question before you look at the state of the portfolios, Garth, is, would you have been quick enough to get in to short the share to take advantage of that decline, or did that just happen too quickly?
It happened very quickly. I mean, you can see on these five-minute candles here, yes, there was an opportunity to short it this morning up above 36 Rand, and it traded all the way down to 32. So I suppose in that case, yes, there was an opportunity to get short early on in the morning. But also remember, the volume is relatively thin right out the gates.
Yeah.
So you find that the volume actually picked up a little bit on these sort of third and fourth candles. You can see the volume illustrated at the bottom over there. It really began to pick up after, say, 10, 15 minutes into the trading day.
Okay. Well, a profitable day's work, as yeah. Richard Quest might say. Garth, so what do the portfolios look like given today's action?
So the South African portfolio has made a little bit of money this week, given that trade that we've just discussed. It's up 7.9% for the year to date, so close to 162,000 Rand there. And then our offshore portfolio is static. Nothing's changed here. We're still sitting up 1.3%. I'm monitoring that Tesla put option, which is our only open trade at the moment. It's not looking all that good for me right now. Mm. But it is what it is. We stick out with it. And I will look to try and put some of this offshore money a bit more to work in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, okay. And then just to end off with a reminder that people can get a weekly alert.
Yes, if you go to traderscorner.co.za, go to the middle of the page, you'll see there's a link there for a free weekly email. Click on that, enter your details. It'll only take you a minute or two to do that. And then we'll send you an email every Tuesday at lunchtime detailing what is coming up on the program each week.
Great. We'll leave it there. Garth, thanks as always for joining us. Garth McKenzie is founder and editor of Traders Corner.